Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. I want to talk about the shed blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Cheryl, are there 8 types of blood? Dr. Fleming says there's 8. Okay, 8 different types of blood that we can have. So blood is very important. Would you agree with that? When was the last time you went in for a blood change? To drain all your blood and put in new blood. A couple of years ago, huh? Yes. A couple of years ago, my wife had to have 2 units of blood given to her. She was bleeding almost that quickly, and fortunately, they were able to stop it. But blood is important. Without blood, and life is in the blood, we would have issues. And we're going to find in a little bit that not only is physical life in the blood, but also spiritual life. But I'd like to read to you, before we get to the jumping point of our message, from some verses about blood, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And we'll be going down through verse 10. We'll be talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, a well-known pastor said that there was nothing special about the blood of Christ. Now, I think that he was trying to talk about the physical blood of Christ, but he raised quite a storm. I think there's something very special about the blood of Christ. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Life is in the blood, and our spiritual life is in the blood of Christ. If you would, 1 Peter chapter 1. I do hope that you have these verses underlined in your Bible, if you are one that underlines verses. But 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Ye were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ." If you would, Revelation chapter 1. And we'll read verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Blood is important. Some have said that some Baptists are bloody Baptists. Well, I don't know if that's an insult or if that is a compliment. But the fact is that blood in our thoughts and in our doctrines is important. The blood of Christ. So are you there at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22? Of course, some of you have been turning with me to each one of them, and I appreciate that. But Hebrews 9:22, and we will be coming back to this portion of Scripture near the end of the sermon. Hebrews 9, verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And what without the shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the love of our Heavenly Father who sent Jesus to die for us. Lord, we thank you for the love of the Holy Spirit who directs us, encourages us. Lord, who is our guide. Lord, we thank you for these who are here tonight and for those who are watching. May your name be honored and glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Looking at sin, we notice it works three ways. Three ways. Number one, sin separates us from God. Sin separates. Would you take your Bible and turn to Romans? Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. Sin separates. And it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under what? Sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it was a great burden to God when Adam and Eve took of the fruit? Do you think that bothered him greatly? Because before that, didn't he walk with them in the garden? And he had a personal relationship. What it divided them? Sin. What divides us from our Lord? Sin. Sin. Second, what does sin do? Sin brings about in us a sense of guilt. A sense of guilt. Now, as I read from Romans chapter 7, it's just over a couple of pages, and we're going to begin reading at verse 15. Bear with me, because this is kind of a tongue-twister portion of Scripture. And we're going to start in verse 15, and we'll read down through verse 24. Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now listen, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Guilt. Do you look forward to the time in which sin no longer has any power over you? That you will not have the wrong thinking, that you will not have the wrong attitude, that you will not desire to do that which is wrong. I just think that's just going to be amazing. Amazing. I wonder if in heaven all we that have preached the word of God will be given an opportunity to preach in heaven, where I'll be a perfect speaker. That might be boring. But the fact is, sin divides. Sin brings guilt. Number three, sin provided the devil with ground for accusations before God against us. Take your Bible And where am I going where he brings accusations? Well, Revelation 12 later. How about Job chapter 1? Job chapter 1. We will get to that other portion, Pastor Stephen. Job chapter 1. You ever ponder the fact that God allowed all that happened to Job to happen to him? He said, okay. Would you want the Lord to have that much confidence in you that he could tell Satan he can do whatever he wants? That's a scary thought, isn't it? I tell you. Verse 6, Job 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And Job had one of those bad hair days, didn't he? Everything went bad. But sin provides the devil with ground for accusations. Have you ever pondered what he takes to the Lord about you? Wow, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Yes. But the blood operates in three ways also. Number one, the blood of Christ works for the Heavenly Father. What I mean by works for means that he is satisfied with it. The blood was shed primarily to satisfy God the Father. Now, ponder this. Man has sinned. God loves man. He wants to provide a way of salvation. So how is that salvation going to be provided? What if God said, well, they can work for it? How much work? How many years? How about someone who's saved on their deathbed? How much work can they do? How much would you do? What would it be like if you worked all your life to be saved and you missed it by one work? Wouldn't that be terrible? Yes. Aren't you glad you don't have to work for your salvation? Yes. So God didn't say you have to work for it. God did not say you have to do some mighty feats. He hasn't said that, you know, there is certain things that you can do and certain things you can't do. What if God said, all you have to do is not eat peas? You know there'd be people who would eat peas anyways? You know there would be. And then they would say, what right does God have to tell me I can't eat peas? Now, we already know the reason that we shouldn't eat peas. But the fact is, God didn't say, if you don't do something or if you do something, it'll get you into heaven. God said there had to be the shedding of blood. Did the shedding of blood in the Old Testament save the Old Testament saints? It did not. That's right. It did not save them. It covered their sin, but it did not remove their sin. Only the blood of Jesus removed their sin. That blood shed was a picture of the coming Savior. So, The blood was shed primarily to satisfy God the Father. This was seen in the Passover. The blood was placed on the two doorposts and on the door lintel, and God passed over. This was also seen on the Day of Atonement. The blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat inside the Holy of Holies. The blood was shed. It was a picture of the coming Savior. Number two, the blood works for man. Since the blood of Christ has satisfied God the Father, by us. Why are there those who don't want to be saved by the shed blood of Christ? Some say, well, it can do something and we have to do the rest of it. That's a lie. That's false doctrine. He did it all. He did it all. Because of the blood, we have access or right of entry to our Lord. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I'm going to say something, and I hope that you're not going to stand up and disagree. But I believe the only prayer a lost person can pray that God hears is the prayer of repentance. I believe that's the only prayer. I don't believe the lost person can pray for something and God says, well, okay, I'll do that. No, the prayer that he hears of the lost person is when they ask the Lord for forgiveness. But the initial access, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 8 down through verse 13. Realize what a privilege it is to pray and the Lord hears. You realize that is a privilege? The vast majority of the world does not have that privilege. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The fact that we have been covered by the blood has drawn us close so that we can enter in and pray. And as I've said, that's a great privilege. And then there's a daily access. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. I told you we'd be back, didn't I? Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin reading at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now their where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw close. That's a privilege, ladies and gentlemen. That's a privilege. Let me ask you this. You drive to Washington, D.C., and you go up to the gate, and you talk to the guard, and you say, I want to talk to President Trump. What are the chances that they are going to let you in to talk to President Trump?
Zero.
No. Do you realize that you can talk to the creator of the universe, and all you have to do is pray? That is a privilege, and it's something that we should remember to do. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I just think when I pray, I just feel so inadequate. Because he's God. And what am I? Number three, the blood against Satan. Go ahead, say amen.
Amen.
The blood works against our enemy. The devil is actively accusing the brethren. Pastor Stephen's already told you where to go. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Do you remember as a kid there would be those who were always the tattletales? Do you remember when you were a kid there were always those that couldn't wait to tell the bad things about you? Oh, some of them grew up to be adults, right? Yes. But Revelation chapter 12, let's begin reading at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. He is actively accusing the brethren. Isn't it sad that we give him ammunition? Isn't it sad that we give him something to take before the Lord? I think it'd be marvelous if there was someday, just one day where I didn't sin. Just one day. And Jesus would look at him and say, what do you think about Paul Madonna today? You know what Satan would say? Wait till tomorrow. That's what he'd say. Because I'm not perfect. The only way to defeat the devil is through the blood of Christ. This verse. I hope you have this first phrase highlighted in your Bible. And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. May I say this, it's the only way we're going to defeat him. Because we in our sinful nature deserve hell. But because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can have heaven. And that's something we should be excited about. Something we should be excited about. The blood of Christ offers a continual cleansing for the child of God. If you would, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It would be nice that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior here on planet Earth, you never sinned again. Be nice? I tell you what, that's an amazing thought. But sin has become so natural to us that we're just used to it. Verse 7. 1 John. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from how many sins? All sin. Praise God. Amen. Thank the good Lord. In conclusion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now we are going to have the Lord's Supper soon. Personally, I need it. There's a reason we have the Lord's Supper, isn't there? And that reason is to remember what he has done for us. Beginning at verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We thank the Lord for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ through the shed blood. See, it's one thing to thank him for the salvation. It's another thing to know what he did so we could have that salvation. It wasn't just that he went over here to the five and dime and purchased your salvation with a credit card. No, it cost him very dearly. And he was willing to do it. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have through him. And Lord, now we pray as we have this invitation time, that, Lord, we would always be mindful of what has been done on our behalf. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.